Hello, and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I have terrific guests today. This is your home. If you feel that your nonprofit is ignored, maybe by the media, by consultants, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. We're always talking about what's ideal for small and medium-sized nonprofits. My guests today are going to be Regina Walton, and she's going to talk to us about social media. Should you be doing it? If so, how, where, when? And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to welcome John Melcott with Karma 411, and John's going to talk about specifically fundraising online. This show is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls today, but there is a contest to name the call-in number. Name the number contest. The call-in number, again, we're not taking calls today, but the number is 877-480-4120. Name that number for us, please. Find a sentence or something that triggers that number using the digits on your phone, and you'll win 1 hour of complimentary planned giving consulting by me for the nonprofit of your choice, or a copy of my book, Charity Registration, State-by-State Guidelines for Compliance, again, for the charity of your choice. You'll see details about the contest, the name the number contest, on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com and search for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. When we have lots of fans, we'll have a URL that has that radio show in it, but for now you have to search for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Go to our Facebook fan page, like us, which means you're joining as a fan, and you'll see details of the Name the Number contest. After this break, I'm going to welcome Regina Walton for all things about social media, right after this break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I'm Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Your nonprofit is ignored because you're small or medium-sized, but you still need expertise and help with technology, fundraising, compliance, finance, and accounting. We'll look at all of these areas on The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%, on TalkingAlternative.com, Fridays 1 to 2.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. I'm your host, the aptly named host, Tony Martinetti. My first guest today is Regina Walton. Regina is principal of Organic Social Media. Regina's joining us by phone. Welcome, Regina. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well, too. Thanks. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We're talking about social media for small and medium nonprofits. Let's first just define the space. How do you define social media?
Well, you know, it's many different things. There are lots of moving parts right now, which I guess, you know, can be overwhelming if you're not familiar with it. But the things that I think most people have heard about are sites like Facebook and Twitter. I would include other things like, you know, forums where people communicate with each other on. Usually forums are targeted based on topic or sometimes demographics or and things like that. But also email, I think, although email at this point is around 20 years old, I think that it's part of it because it can lead people to those sites.
Okay, interesting. You mentioned something I'd like to look into. It can be overwhelming. I have experienced with clients that it's so overwhelming that it leads to paralysis. They don't know how to start, so they don't start.
Right.
Do you have, before we start talking about the different strategies, do you have some advice for organizations that just may feel paralyzed?
I think probably the smartest thing then is to find an expert, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean someone like me, because people do pay me to do it, but maybe you have, and you probably do, you have someone in your organization who is on Facebook, who is on Twitter. I'm not saying that they're experts, but I'm saying that they have at least gotten over a certain level of phobia, right? And that maybe, you know, you can use them, you know, to kind of get you started. Or maybe, hey, who knows, maybe they will end up being the community manager of your nonprofit, you know, because who knows, it might be some untapped potential there with someone. But at least, you know, try to find somebody who is already in the space. And is already, you know,
already comfortable.
Comfortable. Right. And because a lot of it is Googling. A lot of it is finding information. This is all so very new that we're all learning.
even the experts are still learning, right? I mean, the sites pop up every day. There's constant learning for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and I was going to say, people are like, oh, you're an expert, or you're, you know, you should call yourself this or that. And I hesitate to do that simply just because it's a constant learning process. There are articles and blogs and guides being written almost daily, and it's just so much information. So I would just say that I'm someone who, you know, keeps her finger on the pulse of what's going on.
You mentioned
thank you so much.
All right, you mentioned email as a social networking strategy. So since that is what everyone by now is comfortable with,
right.
Do you have a couple of ideas that someone who's maybe starting an email campaign of some type could should start with?
Well, I just, you know, I mentioned email from the perspective of, if you just look at, you know, marketing research in terms of value, you know, email is very valuable because that person is explicitly giving you permission, you know, to market to them or to send them messages. And that, from that perspective, there's just, you know, a high value of return. So I would say that in a social media strategy, you ultimately want to build in a system where you have an opt-in email system. You might not have one initially, but those people are going to be valuable to you because, you know, they are at least at some level vested enough where they've said, okay, you can send stuff to my email box, and that's valuable. That's a lot more valuable than, say, you know, someone on Twitter. Not that Twitter's not valuable, a different kind of value, but just, you know, in terms of sheer marketing numbers, the value of an email customer is more. So what can you do? Maybe if you build a Facebook page for your nonprofit, then, you know, maybe set up something where you have a newsletter or something, and, you know, you ask people to opt in for that. And then if they do that, then, you know, they're basically consenting to getting more info.
Another advantage to email is that you know the person has received it. They may not necessarily open it, but you know they've seen it, right?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I would just say the value is the fact that this person, you know, has given you their email information, and that, you know, you're going to get to deliver them something straight to their inbox that they're going to look at in the morning or in the evening. And yeah, they may or may not open it. And I have to admit that sometimes I will opt into a list, and then I'll take myself off because then I find that, well, maybe I'm not as interested as I thought I was, or, you know, I start feeling like they're kind of abusing the process, you know, so don't overdo it if you get someone's email, because they will opt out.
And what about some goals for around email? What might a small organization hope to achieve by starting an email awareness or a friend raising or even fundraising campaign?
Well, I mean, one example, and I'm actually just referring to something that's going on right now on social media. There's a website that is conducting like a contest to measure who's the most influential person. Well, there's like kind of an activist nonprofit group that raises, you know, funds and just does good deeds for people, and they've decided they're going to hijack this project and turn it into something good, because that's, you know, they're the objective of what they do. And so basically they sent out a message to people saying, we're going to hijack this project, read up, this is what we do. And I literally got an email yesterday saying, okay, this has started. And, you know, so go on to Twitter and update your status, or go on to Facebook and do this. So I would say that maybe one goal is to actually, you know, to get people engaged, you know, like calls to action. I find that I get from nonprofits quite a bit in my email, you know, one political one or, you know, fundraising one. But I find that a lot of nonprofits use it for that. How successful that is, I don't know. I'm not working on that side of it, but just ask somebody who is kind of in this space and gets those emails. That's where I see a lot of things happening, is that nonprofits will use them to get people to take a stand, or, you know, to react, to do something.
And you mentioned using email in that example to send people elsewhere, to Facebook, Twitter. So why don't we start to move into those areas? And you also mentioned earlier the Facebook fan page. Mm-hmm. What is that? What does it take to start one?
Oh my God!
But
well,
what is
actually,
it? What, just what is it first?
Are easy. They're pretty easy to set up. Okay, or maybe let me qualify that. They're easy for someone who's comfortable with the platform to set up. It doesn't take much at all. The only thing I'm just going to say as a caveat is that, let's say, you know, you're a nonprofit, it's a small organization, you want to make sure that the Facebook page for the organization is tied to the person, like tied to the president or the person who is in charge. Because, example, if I'm your intern and then you let me build that page on my profile, you know, when it's time for me to go back to school, the profile is permanently tied to my account.
That's something that cannot be changed later.
It cannot be changed right now. Maybe it's going to happen that, you know, so many people make this mistake that Facebook is going to have to build it in.
Well, it doesn't exist now. Well,
they can transfer it, but as it stands right now, that account will not move. It stays on the account it was started on. So, you know, give your intern temporary access. You know, you can always change your password, you know, or whatever. And have them set up the page on your account, and then you go in, or they go in, because they're already in your account, and make themselves an administrator of that account, and then they can do it from their account. But make sure that it's anchored in, you know, into, you know, the CEO's account, the, you know, whoever is in charge.
Right.
So that's just a caveat. So with that said, Facebook fan pages are pretty easy to set up. the level of sophistication, though, is getting pretty high, and people's expectations are getting pretty high. So that means if you have things like logos and things that kind of brand your nonprofit, use them. And that's as you drag in image files and things like that. But there's special language and things that you can find. But this is the thing. It sounds overwhelming. Trust me, you can go onto Google and just type in something like Facebook, you know, how to build a Facebook fan page. And you will get tons and tons and tons of resources from very good sources on how to do it. Now, it's going to take you more time and you're going to have to still learn, but the information is out there. And that's kind of the fun thing about this.
You're listening to Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. My guest is Regina Walton, principal of Organic Social Media. Regina, if people want to contact you, why don't you tell us briefly, tell us how they should do that?
Well, probably the best way, because this is what I do, I get up pretty early in the morning, the best way to contact me is via email, because my email feeds into everything. It feeds into my laptop, my phone, everything. So Regina, R-E-G-I-N-A, W-A-L-T-O-N, at gmail.com. That is the most direct and easiest way to find me. And then from there, you know, we can continue the conversation. But that's the easiest way to find me and probably the most guaranteed way to get me.
This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. My guest is Regina Walton, and Regina will stay with us after this break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello. I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
With a little love and some tears.
I'm Tony Martinetti. You're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. My guest is Regina Walton, and we're talking about social media. Regina is the principal of Organic Social Media. Regina, we were just talking about the Facebook fan page. It sounds like that is a fairly simple and easily done place for a nonprofit to start.
Right.
You think so? Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I mean, that was a high-pitched kind of thought thing. Yes, maybe.
Okay.
I say that because Facebook does have, 50 million people. So there's a really high chance that, your core audience is definitely on Facebook. However, bigger might not necessarily be better. Preparing for this, I put down a list, and like an example is, maybe it would be better to pick a form where there are people who deal directly with what your cause is. Like example, there was a shelter, a woman's shelter.
Sorry, Regina, before you launch into the example, just explain what you mean by forms.
Well, I mean, basically, what I mean is it's an online space where, as I said earlier, people congregate based on interests or based on demographics. So, like, example, if you like knitting, you can probably go online, I know I could, go online right now and find a form that is dedicated and probably in detail you would never have imagined, but they talk about knitting, and they talk about all kinds of little side issues that come up with knitting. And so that's what I mean. These are specialized spaces online that deal with people's interests, and they can talk about them.
Thank you. And I thought you said form, F-O-R-M. My mistake. You were talking about online forums.
Yeah.
Forums. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. You had an example of a forum.
Well, yeah. So, like, example, they still exist, a shelter that was looking to, to have people help them jazz up these shelters for abused women or women who just needed a place to be or a safe place. And so what they did was they specifically targeted a form, a Martha Stewart form, right? These are women mostly who are very interested in, jazzing up their home environments and making things pretty. So this is kind of an ideal group of people to target, and they did, and they got a lot of people to contribute to help them, beautify these spaces. So, yeah, I'm sure that maybe they could have found, the Martha Stewart fan page on Facebook and tried to engage people there or build a Facebook page. But, maybe sometimes it's better to be targeted in what you do, and that all comes down to research. So, I would say before any nonprofit does anything, take the time to think about what your goals are as a nonprofit and what you want to do
and
with social media, because there's so much you can do. Maybe targeting would help.
And what about using online communities for listening about what's going on in your space? I mean, you're giving us a great example of raising awareness and even volunteer recruitment, and you even mentioned fundraising in that example of the shelter. What about a nonprofit using these communities just to listen to what's going on in their workspace, in their sort of service community?
Well, that's key, and I think that comes down to doing research. You can build things called Google Alerts, and specifically, Google will email you anytime and every time something along whatever that term is.
So you get a Google Alert on a term or a phrase.
Yeah, and so you can build Google Alerts.
And to do that, would someone just start at Google.com?
You can start at Google.com. Usually Google tries to be pretty intuitive, and I actually believe it's something like alerts.google.com or www.google.com/alert.
Excellent. Okay, thanks.
Something like that.
Right.
And in general, Google tends to be very intuitive regarding that kind of stuff. So even if you type in alerts and it's something else, usually something will pop up saying, do you mean this? So, you know, you can start by doing research. Yeah, researching on maybe definitely your own nonprofit. You should definitely be getting a Google. You should definitely build a Google alert with the name of your nonprofit.
Excellent.
So that if people are talking about you, you know it.
And maybe also the executive director, key volunteers. I mean, these are ways of researching your organization, and the research answers are coming right to your email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because trust me, I've even got a Google alert about me. I want to know when my name comes up and when people are talking about me. And that's pretty standard these days amongst us tech geeks. You know, but also you want to find out, you might have some fans out there depending on what you've done in the community. So there might be people who have, you know, unofficial profiles or who are just enthusiastic supporters of what you do, you know, try to find them. And when you start building your own online presence, engage them. Say, oh, hey, you know, I ran a Google search and I found this post or something. And I just wanted to let you know, we're building a Facebook fan, you know, we built a Facebook fan page, so come on over. And if that person is already in your corner, right, then he or she is definitely going to spread the word for you. And that actually leads me to another side of it, which is you can't really control the Internet. You might get people saying bad things about you. It comes to, you know, take the time to think about, you know, maybe what you'll do in terms of damage control. Think about this in advance also. Example, Haiti. Someone I know was helping a famous individual with his social media. And he got into a little bit of scandal, not a little bit, quite a bit. And I was talking to the guy who was helping him, and it was just one of those things where eventually, you know, it came into, you know, just being transparent and damage control and dealing with it. And that seemed to kind of have it all calm down. But you can't be scared that people might say bad things about you. There are things such as internet trolls.
And it's better to know. But
sometimes people will go too far. But things like if you build a Facebook page, you know, you might want to make it very explicit that, you know, we don't tolerate abusive language here. You know, we reserve the right to delete comments or things like that. But, you know, just be ready.
It can be good,
but it also can be bad.
But it's better for the organization to know that there is negative stuff out there
on websites and blogs. Always are going to be some naysayers out there, and just be ready for them.
So you can use the Google alerts to find out.
Huh? Yeah.
You can use the Google alerts to
find out. If it comes up, deal with it, and then move on. You know, because usually what happens is, you know, naysayers get shut down really fast if they're just kind of talking.
Yeah. Regina, just in the minute or so that we have left, what about using social media, the online communities, for nonprofits to network with other nonprofits? I think that's something that isn't often thought of.
There's actually a nonprofit that I found a really good story on. Basically, they deal with paraplegics who have been injured in surfboard accidents. And what this group did was online, they connected with another nonprofit. So the name of the nonprofit is Life Rolls On, and they connected with the Chris and Dan Reeve Foundation. And they have, you know, they have similar objectives And so between those two groups, it's just a real easy flow of communication, and the people that are vested in their cause, you know, kind of by default, are vested in the cause of this other nonprofit. And it just kind of helps to expand the base of both.
And how do you get started? How do you find other nonprofits that are working in your space in just the 30 seconds or so that we have left?
Well, I would say it comes down to monitoring. That's where the Google searching is really going to start pulling up all this activity. You'll start getting tweets coming in, Facebook stuff, forums, websites, all that stuff's going to come up.
And that's all searchable, so yeah. And that's all. Those are all being searched, I guess, by the Google alerts that you were talking about.
Yeah, but also going in and physically Googling yourself. You know, go into Google and try some different terms, because sometimes, you know, your first choice doesn't necessarily work. And so then you have to kind of get a bit more precise or change the terms a bit. So go in and play around with Google. It's okay to get some bad results, because then you'll learn not to do that search anymore.
Regina, give us your email one more time if people want to contact you.
All right, Regina, R-E-G-I-N-A, Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N, all one word, so reginawalton@gmail.com.
Regina, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
My guest has been Regina Walton, principal of Organic Social Media. Following this break, I'll be joined by John Melcott, and we'll be talking specifically about fundraising in online communities.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I'm Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Your nonprofit is ignored because you're small or medium-sized, but you still need expertise and help with technology, fundraising, compliance, finance, and accounting. We'll look at all of these areas on The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%, on TalkingAlternative.com, Fridays 1 to 2.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Tony Martinetti, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. In a moment, I'll be joined by John Melcott, and we'll talk about using online communities for fundraising. In the next moment, I want to spend just reminding you that if you are planning fall events for your organization, September and October, I think, tend to be pretty common months for social events of different types, fundraising events, because people have largely taken the summer off. If you're planning an event like that, those events are solicitations. And those solicitations trigger the requirement to register with state charity officials in the state where you're hosting that event. So that event might be in your home state, might be in your office, or maybe in a major donor's home or a board member's home. That may very well be in your home state, and hopefully you're registered in the state where you're doing the most business with state charity officials. But if you're hosting an event in some other state, you need to be registered with the state charity officials before you host that event. Because as I said, that event is a solicitation, and solicitation is what triggers the charity registration requirements throughout the states. As I've said in previous shows, there are lots of other things that trigger these requirements: email, paper mail, buying advertising space. In a lot of states, having a donate now button. If you have a live donate now button on your website, and that's visible obviously throughout the world, in 20 to a little more than 20 states, that's a charity solicitation, because the donate now button is visible in those 20 states. And it doesn't matter whether someone gives through the donate now button. I'm not talking about donations coming through your website. I'm talking about the website just accepting, merely accepting online gifts. That also is a solicitation. But if you're planning these fall events, you took the summer off, if you have events coming up, you should register with state charity officials before you host those events. I am very interested in this topic, so much so that I wrote a book about it. The book is Charity Registration, State-by-State Guidelines for Compliance, and you'll find the book at statecharityregistration.com. My guest now is John Melcott. John is Vice President of Karma 411. John is joining us by phone. John, welcome.
Hi, Tony.
Let's talk about fundraising using online communities. My last guest was talking about getting started in online communities. How is the online community space valuable for fundraising?
Sure. We actually call this type of fundraising people-to-people fundraising. And for nonprofit, there's multiple ways, of course, to raise money. Some of the traditional ways would be to do a direct mail, ask for large checks from big donors, government grants, etc. But a new way that people are raising money are through social networks. And the people-to-people phenomena means the nonprofits are not directly soliciting donations. They are actually encouraging people who care about the organization. This could be a volunteer. It could be someone who's close to the organization. It could be someone who cares about the cause, for them to ask their friends directly to support the cause they care about.
The nonprofit,
and this is a company.
The nonprofit is not soliciting. It's someone who loves the nonprofit.
Exactly. So the people to people part are friends asking their colleagues, their relatives, their friends to support a cause they care about.
What about sort of message control? If we're going to let our constituents, who admittedly love us, but might not describe us, a charity, in the way that we'd most like to be described. That's going to be a concern.
Oh, sure. And that comes up a lot. I will say we've been doing this for 2 years now, since 2008. We used to get that question more often, but less and less now. And the trade-off is, and I think I heard a little bit from the last conversation, that there is a trade-off. You do lose some of the control. But the simple answer is the people-to-people aspect, the social media aspect of this equation, which is user-generated content, meaning people are creating messages, they're creating the emails, they're creating the requests, are more persuasive than the kind of official marketing request. So I guess the way I would look at it is, if you look at the popularity of a site like YouTube, a lot of the videos on YouTube are not professionally made. Marketing people may cringe if they look at some of those videos, but they're very, very popular and they're very viral. So right. That's kind of the trade-off. A little less control. It's not as polished. It's definitely more informal, but it's very active, and those messages are often very viral.
Yeah, some of the most viral videos are the ones that have what critics would say low production values. homegrown. I'm thinking of some that come from the military doing dances, or the guy who dances throughout the world in different countries. I mean, it's very low production, but millions and millions of hits.
You're absolutely right. And this term that people use all the time called social media. And it's not always defined. People just kind of talk about it as this big trend and phenomenon, but it just means user-generated. And you're right, it's not as professional, but it's very, very popular.
Social media, social networking. Your site is Karma411, and people will find that at karma411.com. Why don't you tell us what Karma 411 is doing in promoting the people-to-people fundraising?
Sure. And if we just take a quick step and we talk about social media and social networking in general, there's two kind of core activities going on here. The first one is, as I was saying, social media, so content that's generated by individuals, is very popular, it's very persuasive, and it's very viral. So that just kind of as a trend, YouTube is certainly a big example of that. But then social networking, which of course Facebook is the big example, is the same idea. Of course, it's all user-generated content. You look at one of the most popular websites in the world, Facebook, and no content is being written by someone at Facebook. It's all written by mothers and high school kids and college kids, etc. So the reason why it's so popular, first of all, the social media, so it's people sharing their own stories and messages with their friends. But it's a great way to communicate. And email, of course, is a good way to communicate. But you can pair email with all of the tools that the social networking sites like Facebook and others offer. So it's an absolutely terrific way to communicate. And the way we look at the world, that Karma 411 looks at the world, is you use these tools, these social networking elements, for different tasks in your life. Most of it right now is around fun. And Facebook is fun. Check out photos of your friends' kids, catch up with friends from high school, etc. But it's kind of addressing a need of just that basic end of day at work, just relax and kind of see what's going on with your friends. So it's for fun. And then LinkedIn came along and said, you know, this is a great way to connect and communicate and interact with people, but what about business needs? So you're looking for a job, you're trying to communicate your resume, you know, that type of thing. And our view is, that's great too, so fun is covered and business and kind of searching for a job is covered. What about causes? So you care about a cause, you want to support a cause. It's the same idea. You need tools to communicate, to share your ideas, and provide a platform to support social media. So that's where Karma 411 fits in. We have similar tools to those other sites, but we focus on causes.
My guest is John Melcott, Vice President of Karma 411. You're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. John, you're an entrepreneur, a co-founder of Karma 411, so I am tempted to ask you, what happened to MySpace? Why did it decline in popularity?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it has reborn itself a little bit, but I had this really nice picture that I used to use for discussions on social networking, and it had three pictures, one for MySpace, one for Facebook, and one for LinkedIn. The one for Facebook had kind of a nice, clean-cut college student-type person, just, you know, very nicely dressed and you know, nicely put together, someone you want to talk to. The LinkedIn person, of course, had a suit on and was a little more professional. But the MySpace person was carrying a knife. It was a little dangerous. And that was the problem with Facebook. As we were saying before, it's important to kind of be more informal and let people create their content. But at the same time, it needs to you need to make sure that it doesn't go overboard. And the problem with MySpace, people were not being honest. People were not representing themselves correctly. So maybe they took some of the potential downside that you were asking me about in the beginning and took it too far. Mm. And one thing just to learn from this is that it's always an issue and people do worry about it. But big picture, when you try to figure out how am I going to control this message with so many contents and so much content, so many updates, so much networking going on? Can anyone really control it? And on the one hand, no. You, as a company, you can't control every element. You can monitor it and do alerts, et cetera. But at the same time, I really think as a community, people understand when people go overboard. And there is, within reason, a kind of a self-policing. Mm. And I do believe that's what happened with MySpace. The community said, this is not where we want to go. This is not what social networking is supposed to do. And there was no government agency that came in. There was no police force that came in. There was no external force. It was just the community itself said, this is not what we want. So it doesn't happen as quickly as arresting someone, for example. But big picture, I really do think these pro-social type proclivities will win out. And that's what we certainly hope for Karma 411.
So it gave new meaning to crowd control. It was really the crowd acting as the police and moving away. You mentioned that MySpace was reborn just in the 45 seconds or so that we have before the break. How did MySpace have a rebirth?
Yeah, it's a good question, because someone might scratch their head and say, won't there be one mother of all social networks where everyone goes and everyone uses for everything? And that has not happened, whether it's in any space. Even if you look at email, which is so commoditized, you have an inbox and you send emails. But there's Hotmail, there's Gmail, there's Yahoo. Of course, there's still Outlook from Microsoft. So there's still that kind of individuality. So I don't believe it'll ever be the mother of all social networks. And part of it is because people will focus. You'll go to Facebook for fun, as I said before. You'll go to LinkedIn for business. I hope you go to Karma 411 for causes. And people go to MySpace now for music, which is how they started. MySpace started as a little area where bands could promote themselves, put up their calendar, upload pictures from their concerts, and the fans of those pages would say how much they love their band. And then people said, hey, why don't I have a page, just like my band has a page? And that's how MySpace started. But like I said, it went a little too far, and now they're kind of going back to their roots, and they're focusing on people who are interested in music.
John, we have to take a break. My guest is John Melcott, Vice President of Karma 411, and he'll stay with us after this message.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
TalkingAlternative.com.
I'm Tony Martinetti. This is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. My guest by phone is John Melcott with Karma 411. John, how are people using social networks to do this people-to-people fundraising?
Yeah, the best way to look at it would be to consider a YouTube page when someone uploads the video and kind of gives a quick description of it, or on Facebook, so you have a page with your profile and a little information. The bottom line is you get your own page. So as I was saying before, whoever this person is who cares about the organization, so could be someone who suffered a disease that the organization supports, could be a volunteer, another concerned citizen, whoever it is, you quote-unquote make a page. And on that page, you upload your picture. You tell your story of why it's important to you. And then there are tools to share this message with your friends so they can come and check out your page. Just like you might say, hey, check out this video on YouTube. It's kind of fun. And your friends would go to that YouTube page. It's the same idea, except on that page, you have two options. One, you can make a donation, and that's a key element. And that donation goes to the nonprofit or pass the word. So it becomes live. You tell your friends, oh, this is something interesting. You know, this is my friend, very connected to this cause. Could you show your support? So that's it. It's all, as I said, user-generated content.
And what are you seeing on Karma 411? How are the most successful campaigns being run by individuals?
They're great because, as I was saying before, a lot of times people are familiar more with kind of when they're communicating this way online, maybe they do an email blast, which can often make sense, but it's typically a numbers game. Maybe you have an email list of 10,000 names, and if you were going to send out an email blast, you would expect a very low open rate, maybe a couple click-throughs. You know, it could have an impact, but it's quite low numbers. However, in a campaign like this that I'm describing, the people who are sending the invitation, so when I make my page and send it to my friends and colleagues, et cetera.
This is a page on, you're talking about a page on Karma 411, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah,
you
please.
Make a page on Karma 411, just like you, as I was saying, make a page on YouTube. The response rate is dramatically higher because you're getting the email from your friend. It will get through to the inbox if they've probably already sent emails to that person before. And the request is a lot more persuasive because it's coming from someone you know. So the response rates are typically very good. And the donations, think back to the Obama campaign. They're not always large gifts. This is not the same as getting a big check from a donor. They range. Sometimes you get a $50 check. It could be a $10 check, a credit card donation. But sometimes we do get quite large donations. We've gotten donations on the site up to $10,000. So it's a page, but typically it's more what I would describe as grassroots. So larger responses of smaller transactions. That's typically the experience we found.
John, please tell our listeners how to reach you if they'd like to.
Just go to the site, and we have a number of ways to contact us. So it's just www.karma411.com. That's K-A-R-M-A, and then the numbers 411.com. And my email address is John, J-O-H-N, dot Murcott, M as in Mary, U-R-C-O-T-T, at karma411.com.
John, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Nice speaking with you.
Thank you so much. My guest has been John Murcott, Vice President of Karma 411. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. We have a Facebook fan page. Please go to Facebook.com, and at this point, you still have to search for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Click like so you like us and become a fan. We have a name the number contest. Name our call-in number, 877-480-4120. You'll win a free hour of planned giving consulting for your selected nonprofit or a copy of my book, Charity Registration, State-by-State Guidelines for Compliance. Details of the name the number contest are on our fan page. I want to thank my creative producer, Claire Meyerhoff, producer Sam Leibowitz, and say a sad farewell to former line producer Matt Nelko, who has made his way back to Pittsburgh to embark on continue his career in media. Has a lot of experience in radio and TV, and we wish Matt very, very well. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Please join us every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
I'm Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Your nonprofit is ignored because you're small or medium size, but you still need expertise and help with technology, fundraising, compliance, finance, and accounting. We'll look at all of these areas on The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%, on TalkingAlternative.com, Fridays 1 to 2.
talkingalternative.com.